Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
What am I supposed to do with my clothes? There's no hangers.
If you have a real sick thing about hangers, there's just clothes on them. I can move them.
Kyle, please look. There's not 1 inch for me to put one thing.
Look, what are these?
Where do I put them? Where's room to put anything?
I'm getting rid of some of these things and making space. I mean, how much space do you need?
You said you were going to.
I don't know what to tell you. This is not a big house.
No, it's great. I'm very comfortable. I had a great rest.
I mean,
Kyle, where do I put them? I mean, Splits Richards, the least she could have done is clear out that basement closet because she stuck Sister Kathy down there in the bunk beds in the haunted room, made her sleep there on the whole cast trip. And I think they're just pushing Kathy's buttons. Like, I think they're wanting Kathy to blow up. And I'm starting to realize what Kim said at the Amsterdam dinner when she said to Kyle, Kathy would have my back like a real sister. I'm starting to see that so much more clearly as we're exploring the dynamic between Kath and Kyle. Because I do, in fact, believe that Kyle does not have their backs like a real sister all the time. We're seeing in the previews for next week, Kath wants to promote her tequila that she invested in, and the whole cast is now drinking 818 tequila to support the Jenner gals. And meanwhile, those gals don't need any more promotion. Aren't they good enough on the Kardashians? They got a whole Hulu show to promote their 818 tequila. I mean, the least that these Beverly Hills Housewives can do is help Kathy support her tequila brand that she invested in. Meanwhile, we have whole episodes centered around that Rina Rosé piss water or whatever it is. I mean, excuse me, allegedly. And so Kathy just wants to get a little promo out of the tequila business. And Kyle does not have her back, and Kyle's not sticking up for her tequila. And instead, they're all drinking the 818 next week. And then Kyle's throwing her sister in the basement, the haunted basement. I mean, I'm just noticing these things. And there's so many layers to it all, too. And this was the best episode of the season. I do believe of the best episode of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills this year. Because, like I always say, we want the layers. And this gave us layers. Because we got Bamboozled Jane arguing with the whole group about her legal drama. Then we have underneath that, Kyle sticks up and says, well, Erica, you just need to have some empathy. And Erica Jane is just like, well, I'm going to let the court of law do its thing. And I'm going to da 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 da. And so Kyle's like, well, you just need to fucking say something. And then Kath chimes in and is like, Kyle, stop swearing. And it's just these layers, you guys. It was so good. And the altitude is really doing something to these gals. And I want to say bravo to bravo because we need to throw more ladies up in that altitude. I don't know how it works. I'm not sure the science behind it, but we need to get every cast there. There should be a Real Housewives of Aspen, okay? What are we doing in Dubai? Let's get an Aspen. Cameras rolling because we got an altitude issue, and it makes the women nuts there. And so let's do it. Let's just throw them up there. Throw them up there. Now, before we get into the episode, we got so much to talk about today. Oh, so much to discuss. Not only this episode, again, best of the season by far. The Potomac Gals trailer premiered. Oh, so good. We'll talk about that a little bit later. And what else happened? Oh, off screen, Diana Jenkins of Room 23 fame donated $100,000 to the victims, the orphans and widows of Bamboozled Jane's crimes. Allegedly. And I do have to say bravo to Diana Jenkins for donating $100,000. At least somebody's given something. Erica Jane's not willing to give up those earrings that were bamboozled by the law firm into her ears. But at least Diana Jenkins has given some money. Now, is it going to make me like Diana Jenkins? I don't think so. Certainly not. Not I. Not me. It's not. It is not going to happen. Too little, too late, in the words of our dear JoJo. Get out, leave right now. And I do think there's maybe a PR spin involved, but who cares? Because it's going to the orphans and widows, the people who could use the money. And I don't have $100,000 to donate, but I'm happy somebody is, especially if someone like Diana's got the money to do so. Although I do wonder the logistics of it, because Bamboozled Jane, is she pissed that Diana Jenkins is just throwing around willy-nilly $100K to these orphans and widows, and meanwhile she can't even give up the earrings that go on the ears? She can't even give up the clutches, and what was she talking about, the McQueen snakeskin bag or what? I don't know. She was talking about some expensive thing later. So at least someone's given up something. And I would like Kyle the Splits Richards to donate some of them hats, because I've seen enough of them hats.
Enough.
Her and Mauricio just wearing the hats. Oh, and are you guys catching all the Mauricio Dorit stuff? Because the producers are playing into the fact that we all have this running rumor theory thing that Dorit and Mauricio have like a secret love affair, which I don't think they actually do have a secret love affair, but they are playing into it. And they want us to think that. And so I just have to say, that's what they're presenting to us. There was a moment in the dinner where Dorit was like talking about chicken sausage, and she had like a flirtatious moment. She's like, what is this? And then Maurice is like, that's the chicken sausage you ordered. And they were like smiling and giggling at each other. And then when Maurice showed up on the ski slopes, Dorit was like, hey, honey. And she like did a little cute little giggle. And they don't even show Mauricio greeting his wife, Kyle. They just show him greeting Dorit. And you know the logistics behind the scenes. I'm sure Splits is pissed. Like, why did they keep showing that footage? And then I bet you production is like, what? We're not doing any of that. You know, like they're probably trying to play like as if they're not trying to play into the fact that Dorit and Mauricio have this flirtatious love affair happening. But I love it. And layers. We're getting the layers. Kathy, I know that I was expecting to get to Aspen trip and turn on Kathy, but up until this point, I'm on her side. She's running around going to the Aspen dinner with a shopping bag. I mean, she just had a shopping bag purse, and God bless that. And Kyle keeps making fun of everything about Kathy, and I think that's why I'm on Kath's side, because Kyle is making fun of the bag. She's making fun of the slippers she wore at the airport. Who the fuck cares what you wear at the airport? I mean, she's wearing slippers to the airport. You got to get on a plane. I'm just happy if she's got socks or something covering her hooves on the airplane, because I've been on airplanes before, and you know how I feel about that. Nobody should be barefooted on an airplane. I don't care if you got great looking hooves or not. I don't want to see your dirty grippers on the plane while I'm trying to watch my DirecTV. I don't like it. You better put those away. So at least Kath had some socks on, some slippers from the hotel, and she was cozy on a plane, because who wants to get on a plane and not be cozy? And meanwhile, Kyle's like, Kath, I can't believe you wore that. What's this ugly bag? And she's just bullying her sister. And I'm like, you need to cool it, Kyle, because you're running around in that ugly-ass hat. I swear, Kyle and Mauricio have just a whole closet that just says, like, Aspen hats. And it's just... Like, you know, some people have like, I don't know, a shoe closet, or I actually have this one little shelf in a closet that's like my candles, which I, you know, I love my three wicks. So I have all my scented candles in this one little shelf, and it's like my, I call it my candle closet. And I just know that Kathy and Mauricio, or Kyle and Mauricio, they just have a closet that's like ugly ass Aspen hats, or they, I just hate those hats. I don't think they're so ugly. I just like, it's something about just seeing every scene of Kathy or Kyle. Why do I keep mixing it up? Kyle and Mauricio wearing those hats in Aspen, because also they're wearing them at dinner. And I was always taught that you do not wear a hat at the dinner table. So what's the truth? What's the truth? I don't know. But oh, so the what do we talked about? Dorit and Mauricio. Oh, I have so many thoughts to talk about. Let's start back. Let's go back to the beginning. Now, again, we open on Kyle's house. It's the morning. Kathy's in the bunk bed with no hangers. Kyle's being a bully. And Rinna and Erica are talking about Diana. And they keep saying Diana was, like, hurt the night before. And I know I just said all these nice things about Room 23's Diana Jenkins because she donated $100,000 to the orphans and widows. But now it's about to turn. The tables are about to turn. In the words of that cast member on Selling the OC, one thing about the tables, they turn. I don't know if anyone's watched that series. Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about, but... One thing about the tables is that they turn. And so they're saying that Diana was just hurt. And then they're also blaming like the altitude for how Diana Jenkins is like calling Sutton to see you next Tuesday. And then they talk about how Sutton's a mean girl. Like this was driving me wild. And I don't know that I've ever seen such a large cast of unlikable characters in my entire life watching Bravo television. But largely this cast seems to be so not self-aware. And so when I'm sitting there watching and they're saying Sutton's always a mean girl, I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? And they're like, she just doesn't know how to act in groups. Like, she's good one-on-one. Kyle's like, I love her one-on-one. And Erica's like, yeah, she's great. Rinna's like, it's just when she comes on groups. And it's like, they just keep saying it's only when she's around the group. And it's like, yeah, because when you're all a group, you're all a bunch of assholes. Like, that's what. That's why Sutton don't know how to act, because she's around a group of assholes who are all bullying up against her. So it's like, yeah, of course Sutton is weird in a group, because the group is a bunch of assholes who are all friends and they're mean to her. And I mean, it's like, come on, how could people be so like, How could they all be so unself-aware? And then to just back Diana, and you know how I feel about this, I think they have this thing with Diana, even though seemingly Diana hasn't really offered up much other than she's very gorgeous. She's got a great style. I do want to give her that. Although in the skiing scene, she was dressed as Jim Carrey in The Grinch, but that's neither here nor there. The point is, I do think she has wealthy style, and I do think these gals always back the money. They always back the money. Always. And so I do think that they have Diana's back in a way that they haven't had someone like Sutton or Garcelle or some of these other new gals who come on the show. And that's because Diana is richer than all of them. Diana could throw away 100K to the orphans and widows. The rest of the gals can't do that. Or maybe they can. They just don't want to. Ladies, am I right? But I think that's why they have this like hard on for Diana Jenkins. Whereas we're all watching this and we're like, I think most of the audience is like, what the fuck? Like, why are they all up Diana's ass? And then I'm looking at it and it's like, oh, they're up there because they want a piece of that pie, piece of that money pie. If you know what I'm saying, they like all of Diana's also got a bunch of famous friends. And what do we say about the Housewives? One thing that these women go on the Housewives for fame. Because they have the money oftentimes. Some of them do. Some of them don't. I mean, we've seen some bleak people. I mean, Gina in the Orange County. Huh? Huh? Let's think about that house, that casita. So they don't all have a ton of money. But for the most part on Beverly Hills, it's like, what are they doing this show for? Unless it's for the fame. And it's like they want to be famous, but they can't. And so Diana Jenkins of Rue 23 fame, she has a lot of famous friends, a lot of money. And so I imagine that's appealing to these women who are in Hollywood, in Los Angeles, and who want a piece of that money pie. And maybe Diana is different, but from what we've seen, I don't know that we've seen a whole lot of like anything great from Diana. Although I'm missing Asher, okay?
Girl?
Feel like we haven't had Asher in a few weeks, and I miss him terribly. And so one of the things that I am concerned about losing Diana, because no, I do not think she'll be back next season. I certainly do not. I do not think she'll be back at all. I actually don't even think there's a prayer of a, what's the saying? A prayer of a hell's chance? That's not a saying. But anyway, I don't think there's a chance in hell that she's coming back. And yet, I'm going to miss Asher like I have these past few weeks. So maybe they're phasing out Asher to get us all adjusted to the fact that those two will not be on screen next season. Unclear. Oh, I think they're filming the reunion this week. Did anyone else hear that? I wonder how that's going to go. I wonder if Bamboozle is really upset that Diana gave 100K to the orphans and widows. And do you think it was all publicity? Am I too cynical? Am I just thinking that Diana just did that to get some people on her side because she was realizing the audience, by and large, hates her completely? I mean, I've never seen an audience of Housewives watchers turn on someone so quickly and rapidly and so in such large groups. I mean, I don't know many people that really love Diana on the show. And so I have to imagine there was some level of PR play there, but maybe that's just me being cynical and I need to get over it. I need to get over it, but I believe that. So, okay. These women are all getting ready for the day. They're going to do some snowmobiling. Erica's going with Sheree, Sutton, and Garcelle, which is like, why? And then the other gals are going skiing. And let's see. When Diana showed up to, this was interesting. Diana showed up to the ski group because she's at the hotel with Dorit now. Dorit went to the hotel. But they show up and everyone cheered and clapped for Diana when she showed up in that Grinch jacket. And I thought it was so weird because I've never seen them cheer and clap for anyone else, but it's all because of the money, I believe. And I think maybe that's me being cynical and pessimistic too, but I really feel like that's the only thing they like about her because I don't even see them really connecting with her. Like, I don't see Diana and Kyle sitting down and having a good chat or like laughing and giggling together. I don't see that happening with Diana and Rinna. I don't see that happening with Diana and Dorit. And yet here they are all clapping like, yay, Diana. And I'm like, what are you all clapping for? You're all just pretending to like her. Just because it's the only reason I could think of is because she's rich. Maybe I'm wrong. Anyway, they go to the snowmobile, and the snowmobile guy who's like going to teach him how to do the snowmobile, he's like, who's excited? You know, he's like really overboard, and I love this about him. But he was like, who's excited to snowmobile? And they're all just like, I guess. And then he's like, don't be nervous. And I was like thinking, they're not nervous. They just all despise each other. Like Erica, it doesn't even make any sense why this group is together. I know that Erica said she had a bunch of knee surgeries or something, and so she went snowmobiling. But then Kathy didn't even go. She just slept in the house in the basement bunk bed. So I don't think they all had to go. And yet it was so weird that they were together. It was so weird. And then they gave us like this like sort of Fast and the Furious type scene that they always do on Beverly Hills, as if that's what we want, like to see them racing fast in snowmobiles. I'm like, let's get to the juicy stuff. I don't care that they're riding in these fast cars. Why do they always think that we want fast cars and freedom out of the Beverly Hills Housewives? Just want to show them eating dinner and yelling at each other. Like, that's what I tune in for, not them just riding fast in a snowmobile. And I like the sports of it all. Like, I like seeing the skiing part. I mean, watching Dorit go down that ski slope, you guys, I loved it. I loved it. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba, I loved it. So I could watch that. But in terms of getting on fast vehicles, I don't need it. I don't need it. One thing, though, over on the skiing, Diana kept huffing and puffing. And I really think that's the most relatable she's ever been, when she just could not catch her breath. Because I, as someone who suffers from anxiety, I often feel like I show up someplace huffing and puffing. And I'm just like, and then the one thing about Diana, though, is they had to keep subtitling that she was breathing hard. And I was like, I think we could see that she's breathing hard. I don't know if they needed to subtitle it. But I was relating to her on that point. But Dorit, she hasn't skied in 20 years. And she's really in her own David Fincher movie. Like, she's just living in a different world. All the other women are just footloose and fancy free on those ski slopes. They've all done a bunch of times. Crystal's riding down that hill like a pro. Splits is riding down that hill like a pro. And then Dorit's just going slow down the baby hill. And I loved it. She was scared to death. And I loved it. So then, meanwhile, the other gals stop snow skiing or snowmobiling, and then they talk about the Diana situation, and Erica's like, something got to Diana, and that's what happened. And they're all just saying it's like the altitude, and then they say Sutton's apologies aren't hitting, and Erica's like, I got in trouble on Instagram, and so I know what that's like. And I do think that Bamboozle Jane and Sutton could be a good duo. Like, I do feel on some level the two of them could team up, and I might like it. Because every time they're together and they're getting along, I'm like, oh, I kind of like this. Like, I like Bamboozle Jane way more when her and Sutton are kind of teaming up. And they got the Southern thing. And I just feel like that would be the most likable. Although, actually, by the end of this episode, you guys, I've never seen someone less likable on camera than Bamboozle Jane. I mean, I know we're going to get there. We're going to get there. But it's just like, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. And then after skiing, Dorit called the kid and she was like, hey, angel baby face, I love you so much. Mommy went down a hill today. Poor Jagger's like, okay, mom. I went down a hill, Jagger. Mommy did it. And he's like, okay, good job, mom. Like, you went down a snowy hill. Like, I got things to do. I got to build a box of Legos. And, you know, he's busy. He's a busy guy. And yet she's just keeping him on the phone like, I love you so much. Mommy went down a hill, angel baby face, baby. And I bet you PK didn't want to take the call, because I could just imagine Dorit was like texting PK all throughout that ski trip of like, I did it, baby. PK, baby, I did it. I went down the hill. You know, she's texting him like furiously. And then afterwards, she probably called him and he's like, oh, fuck, Jagger, you answer this. Like, he gave the phone to Jagger. Like, I can't listen to mom talk about going down that snowy hill for the first time in 20 years. Like, I'm over it. So then he just made Jagger answer the phone. Angel baby face. Mommy went down the hill. And he's like, okay. And PK was like, thank God I got out of that conversation. You know, Dorit's got to have that conversation with somebody on camera. And I imagine Dorit, too, went to the producers like, I'm going to have this great conversation with my family. Like, I'm going to call them and tell them, Mommy went down a hill. And they probably didn't want to film it. And she's like, no, you got to get this footage. Before we get into the nighttime stuff, let's take our break here. And then we'll come back and we'll talk more about this episode of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Before we take our break, I want to talk about one thing. This DirecTV Housewives football crossover ad. If you haven't seen it, I will play a clip of it, but you need to seek it out in its entirety because it's so, so good. Stars Kyle the Splits Richards, Kenya Twirl Moore from Atlanta Housewives, Teresa from Jersey. Let's take a little listen. And then I have a lot of thoughts. We're going to break this down. So let's take a listen.
With DirecTV, I can get live TV and on-demand together. Football, Housewives. Football, Housewives. Football, Housewives.
Whoops. Oh, no.
The housewives are on the field. I repeat, the housewives are on the field.
All right, give me two mojitos. Take a hot stone massage.
I got four!
You kidding me?
She looks mean.
This guy with the splits Richards looks mean. Now, I was watching this ad, and I saw Teresa's jersey number is 19. And I was like, that has to be a reference to her, of course, iconic line from the table flip when she says to Danielle Staub, you were effing engaged 19 times? Prostitution whore? Of course, that's where my mind immediately went to. And then I was looking at other things in this commercial and thinking, is that a reference to something else? Is that a reference to this? And it turns out I was right, because DirecTV confirmed to me some of these Easter eggs that appeared in this DirecTV football commercial. Teresa's number is 19 in reference to engaged 19 times. Kenya's number is 93 in reference to her Miss USA win in 1993. Kyle's number 6 is in reference to Beverly Hills being the 6th franchise of The Real Housewives to premiere. There's also a line in there about running, like there are bees in his helmet. And that's in reference to Splits being afraid of bees, which is so, of course, if you watch Beverly Hills Housewives, we know that Kyle is afraid of the bees. And it's just so, so good. There is also a table flip in the commercial. I love seeing the Housewives play sports. I want to see more sports playing on the Housewives franchise and beyond. And I'm not going to rest until DirecTV does a spot where Karen Huger's playing basketball, where Candy Burris is playing volleyball, and where Heather Gay is playing soccer, because I need all the Housewives doing all of the football sports and everything DirecTV sports ads for us going forward. And I love this too, because I hear from a lot of people who listen to Everything Iconic who are couples. And usually, oftentimes in couples, there's one person that likes Bravo and Housewives and one person that likes sports. I thought this commercial played into that beautifully, because there often is one or the other, and it combined both elements into something that was so beautiful to my eyes. So if you haven't seen it, again, check out all of it in its entirety. This special Everything Iconic review is brought to you by Acast Creative and DirecTV. Get your TV together. Hook up DirecTV. It's fantastic. You can go to directtv.com/stream to learn more. And I will be patiently waiting for more Housewives playing sports ads. You know, I love a Housewife in a commercial. And just seeing Teresa on the field. Of course, we've seen Teresa in bodybuilding competitions. And yet seeing her on a football field gave me a whole different rush of endorphins than I had when I watching on The Real Housewives of New Jersey. And seeing these women in different elements. I mean, Kenya Twirl Moore, of course, catching a football in the ad with a designer handbag. I mean, there's nothing better. It brought me such joy, such light. So again, go to directtv.com/stream to learn more. And thank you. And we're back, girl.
Girl?
Okay, I want to remind you all that I do have a great episode out with Jodie Benson, who's the voice of the Little Mermaid, Ariel, in the original Disney Little Mermaid. It's a fantastic interview, and I thank you all so much for the kind messages, those of you who have listened to it. I think it's really good, so check it out if you're interested. I also have a Selling the OC recap coming on Sunday. I want to tell you all to check that out. Subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to. Find me on social media at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. And you get signed copies of my book at everythingiconic.store. Okay, so then all of the gals get ready for this dinner. And Sutton's got the sock marks from the snowmobiling. And Charisse says that she's got wrinkly ankles. You know Sutton was so pissed. You know she was so pissed when Charisse said, oh, yeah, I thought you just had wrinkly ankles. Like, you just know Sutton was pissed. Then we see Crystal and a Garcelle. They're having some tequila before dinner. They're talking about the earring situation and how Garcelle talked about it on The Real and how it's going to air in a couple days. And they say, just give up the earrings. Crystal says she wouldn't want the earrings. Like, why wouldn't you just give them up? Meanwhile, back at Split's house, Maurice says he's going to dinner. Get out, leave right now. Do we really need him at dinner, producers of Bravo Television? Did we really need to let him come to the dinner? I mean, isn't he was skiing with the gals all day. Then we see him at the house. He's making them corn that's not grilled. And it's like, at a certain point, I'm going to just need you to get Mauricio out of there, because it's too much with Mauricio work. And then him seeing him in Splits with those hats on at the dinner table, I was just like, I can't do this. The only thing I do like is that he was flirting with Dorit and they got it on camera and they showed it to us, because I did love that moment. But otherwise, I don't need the man at the dinner. I just don't need it. Ladies, am I right? Anyway, then everyone goes to the dinner. Sutton's getting in the van. And I was getting a little frustrated at this point, because up until now, I think the episode was pretty snoozy, right? Like, nothing was really going on. We just saw them riding snowmobiles and skiing, but there wasn't a whole ton of stuff. And so I'm thinking, like, let's get to the juicy stuff. I saw the preview. I know Bamboozle loses it. And I know that all this Kathy stuff happens. So I'm like, let's get to the juicy stuff. And then we spend, I'm not kidding you. I mean, I didn't exactly take a stopwatch as I was watching, but I would imagine it was about probably 15 minutes, like 14 or 15 minutes were spent, wasted, of just Sutton hoisting herself into that van, into the Sprinter van. I'm like, we do not need all this footage. I know it was like kind of funny for a second that Sutton was taking a while to get in the van. But okay, we get in the van. I literally shot in the screen. I'm like, get in the fucking van. Like, that was me at home. I lost it at Sutton because I'm like, hoist yourself. Put those hooves into the van and just hoist yourself into that seat because I can't spend any more time here. I'm trying to get to the juicy stuff. I'm thinking, bravo, get me there. You know, bam, bam, bam. I need to get to the Bamboozle Jane's legal stuff. I don't need 25 minutes of Sutton trying to get in the van. I mean, and maybe that was just me. I was too excited for the rest of it, but I was yelling at the screen. I said, get in a fucking van. Like, as if she could hear me. Is anyone else feeling like Diana's doing extra Jennifer Coolidge work this episode with the altitude? I think it's the altitude. Anyway, they all sit down at dinner. Kathy says to Sutton, because Sutton's got the bubbies out, and Kathy says, Sutton, you got the little girl bubbies like Paris and Nikki. Otherwise, what you're wearing would be vulgar. And Sutton takes it as a compliment, but she's unsure. You could tell in her face. She's like, okay. Then Erica's talking about her clothes and her clutches. She's bragging about McQueen and a clutch. She says, I have a bodega suede Madagascar bag. I could bring it out right now. And, you know, she's bragging about the stuff. And then they talk about the earrings. And she says the earrings are actually $1.3 million. So I think originally they thought it was like $750. But then she tells Garcelle that they're estimated at $1.3. Then Garcelle says, why don't you just give them away? And she's like, if they're deemed not mine, why would I give them away? It needs to be a final order, justice under the law. If I'm a liar, it'll be proven I'm a liar in the court of law. And Garcelle's like, okay, but like, you know, the court of public opinion is that you're a monster. And so why wouldn't you just give up the earrings? If Diana Jenkins could just throw away $100K to these people, why can't you just give up the earrings? And I understand there's more involved. There's a legal situation you got to follow. But as they were saying later on, it's like, all it would take is like a couple statements to show that you have some sort of empathy for these people that have lost everything. Like, that's it. You don't even have to do anything. That's the whole point. It's like, you don't even have to give up anything, do anything, change anything about what you're doing. You just have to sort of kind of say something, even if it's complete bullshit. Even if you are literally going on the record as some bullshit statement saying, I feel so bad. You know, just say in a confessional, that's all you got to do. And then I really think like so many people would be on our side, and we would all, maybe not all of us, but I think a larger percentage of people would be like, yeah, this has to go through a court of law. Like, we need to wait and let the court process play out. But nobody can get on her side because she's always being such an a-hole. And so I think that, yes, I agree with a lot of what she's saying of the fact that, like, no, this is a court case and there's a legal situation that has to take place. But just say a little something. Give us a little something, even if it's complete bullshit. We don't have to. You could bullshit us. Come on. All the rest of the gals bullshit us all the time. Like, just do it. It's easy. I mean, I don't get why she don't get that. And she's just so confrontational with everyone. And so it's impossible to get on. I wanted to get on her side when she was getting that Parmesan on her dish. She was the guy, the server was like putting the cheese on her plate, on her noodles. And he's like, how much you want? She's like, I'm on a ton. And I was like, oh my God, I'm on her side all of a sudden. Because I feel that way too when I'm at a restaurant. I'm at the Olive Garden. They say when, as they're putting the Parmesan cheese on it. And I never say when. We can go 25 minutes. I will just, until they have to get a new block of cheese in that Parmesan spreader. That's me at the Olive Garden. Just keep on going. You're going to wait for me to say when. You're going to be waiting a whole lot of time. Get your watch ready, because it's going to be a lot of time that you're waiting on me. You're going to be waiting on me for a long time if you're waiting for me to say when with the Parmesan cheese. I can't. And Garcelle wanted to give her the heads up about the real talk because it was going to air in a couple days. And then she decides, nope, I don't feel like it. Then Kathy and the cheap purse. You guys, Kathy and the cheap purse, they talk about how she's got this shopping bag. And Kathy was very much dressed like a Midwestern mom going to a TJ Maxx. And that's, I think, why we find Kathy so endearing. Now, a lot of it probably is very manipulative. I think Kathy knows what she's doing in the same way that I think Paris, her daughter, knows what she's doing. And I love watching Paris, but we've seen time and time again with the baby voice. And then she goes in an interview and says, that's not my real voice. And so Paris knows what she's doing. And I think Kathy does too. And so she's playing up that Midwestern TJ Maxx mom. And maybe she's not like that behind the scenes. But as it stands and what I'm seeing in the footage in front of me, I am on Kathy's side because I'm like, let her have her fucking shopping bag. I don't care how thin it is. Kyle, being the bully sister in that fucking hat, in her Aspen hat, she's going around the table. She's like, feel Kathy's bag. Like, look how ugly her bag is. Could you imagine how humiliating that would be? Like, if I went to dinner with some people and somebody was like, took something of mine and was like pointing out how ugly it was to the whole table and like making everyone listen about how ugly my bag is, I would be mortified. Like, I would fucking be so pissed at my sister. And by the way, I said that thing about Kim saying Kathy would have my back like a real sister. And I think about my brothers. And there's something about family. Those of you who have siblings, you could hate them, right? Like, you could despise them, but you have their back when other people do not, or in front of other people, you have their back. And I just feel like Kyle doesn't seem to have that. I mean, we saw it with Kim and with the Rinna stuff and saying Kim is close to death. And then Kyle still was friends with Rinna. And when I look back on that, I was like, if that was me, okay, putting myself in Kim Richards' shoes, if I had an addiction problem and my brother friended someone who outed my addiction issues on national television, and I saw my brother hobnobbing around town with them, becoming besties, calling ourselves Fox Force Fives, I'd have been pissed. I don't know that I'd talk to my sibling ever again. And so I know they're hired for a TV show, and so Kyle's got to have relationships with these women, but I look back on that, and I'm like, if that was me, and one of my brothers did such a thing, I'd be pissed. And I put myself in that other position of like, if my brothers didn't have my back on my tequila business, and instead were supporting the Kardashian-Jenner family, which, by the way, did you see Kim's new interview cover? It was like, she dyed the eyebrows, and she's got the caboose out, and I don't know. Is anyone else feeling like a little bit like they're on the decline? I feel like they're on the decline. Anyway, the 818 tequila, they're getting more press than Kathy's tequila. And honestly, they should have called it Kathy's tequila, okay? Rinna's got the Rinna Rosé. Maybe it was a good thing, because if it was Kathy's tequila, it tastes like piss water, because you know how I feel about that. Moving on. So then back at the rental, they all showed up. The driveway's heated, which you know means they're rich. And then they're all kind of drunk. Erica's drunk. She says, they are changing clothes because Rinna gets on like the pajamas. She gets on Garcelle's pajamas. And then Erica's like, why'd you do that? And she's like, I ain't taking shit off unless it's for a man, bitch. You know, she's doing a lot of swearing. She's doing a lot of aggressive, like, bitch work. Hey, bitch. Hey, bitch. You know, like they always do. Rinna gets stoned though. And I did like stoned Rinna. Like, I have to say, I got a shout out to stoned Rinna, because there was something much more chill about Rinna's presence when she was high. Because normally, I just mentioned the bitch work, and it's like, normally we get the, like, hey, bitch! You know, normally that's what we get, like, in every scene with Rinna and Erica. But when Rinna was stoned, I was like, this version of her is fantastic. Like, she needs to eat those weed blueberries all the time. Because she was chill, she was relaxed, she wasn't doing all of that, like, bitch! Thing. And it felt really good to me. And I was like, this is the version. She was also telling everyone to eat the weed blueberries, and Cherie was eating one. Cherie's sort of flopping for me, and Cherie's just not giving me anything. And I want to yell at the screen, like, Cherie, do something. Like, do something. I don't know what, but, like, figure something out. That's how I feel about these people who come on, and they're just on the sideline. On the Potomac Housewives, we see in the trailer, Escala's not coming back, and it's like, that's because Escala didn't do nothing last season. She looked great. Or Monietta on Atlanta Housewives. Or remember that one season 3 New York housewife? It was like Jen or something. I don't even remember her name. But it's like these people who come on and they're just sort of on the sidelines. And you think to yourself, like, you got to do something. You got to step up, and you got to step up early. That was Eden Sassoon's mistake. She only stepped up in the finale. And it's like, you gotta bring it. And so Cherie's not going to be back next season either, because she's not doing nothing. And I would like her to do something so that we could see more of her lifestyle. So these ladies, if anyone out there is listening and you get cast not as a main housewife, but like as a friend of, you need to go in there unhinged. I don't care. You just start yelling, shouting at people, throwing stuff. It doesn't matter. It does not matter. You just, you just get that red light on you. You make sure the camera's pointed directly at your eyes, your face. Otherwise you're gone. That's my advice. If anyone is looking for advice, if you're going to be a friend of a housewife, you need to step up and do just completely unhinged stuff. What doesn't matter? Doesn't matter. Anyway, Rinna stoned is great. Kathy, this is when she brings up the tequila and the Vester, and Kyle's being rude, and they're all sort of side-eyeing her. And he goes, I thought we'd do a bottoms up. And it's like they're all promoting all their other stuff, but the minute Kathy wants to do a bottoms up with her tequila that she invests in, they all act like she's nuts. At least Mauricio wasn't in this scene, though. Get out, leave right now. So then Diana and Garcelle, and they're all talking about the victims. Diana says that Garcelle should do something for the victims. And I think that was probably what, I think Diana saw the episode this week, like they sent her the screener, because they, you know, they send the screeners for the cast, like sometimes the day of or the day before. And so when the news came out about Diana, I bet Diana watched the screener and she saw that in the confessional, she said Garcelle should donate if she feels bad for these people. And then that was when Diana decided, like, oh, I'm going to give 100K. So then Room 23 gave 100K. So good for her. We do want to support. I mean, I do want to say good on her. Good on her. I do not care for her, but good on her. Got to give a props where the props are worthy. Then let's see. Garcelle and Crystal confront Erica. And this is when Erica's, anyone notice her voice lowered 3 octaves? So she's like, I'm not doing anything required of me outside the law in a court of law. This is not court of public opinion. The law matters. And if you don't get that, get the fuck out. In her voice. That even hurt my voice to do. I felt like I was doing my Luann impression from Real Houses of New York. Chic, c'est la vie. You know, my Cookie Monster impression. But I feel like that, normally Erica's voice is like, in the court of law, not in the court of public opinion. But this time it was like a demon took over Erica Jane. It was like that demon came out. And that demon was like, get the fuck out! You know, like, I swear, it was like, I don't know what happened. What happened? You know when the, what was that movie, Gremlins? When the cute gremlins turned into the demons? I felt like that's what happened to Bamboozled Jane in that scene. She had a shot of 818 tequila or something, and it was like she did her bottoms up, and then all of a sudden she turned into a gremlin demon, and it was like, what is going on? I had never heard her voice that low. It must have been at least 3 octaves. I don't know. Can we get a vocal coach on here? Maybe we can call up Asher, see if he knows anything about vocals, because I would like to know exactly how many vocals it lowered, because it sounded like me when I was in middle school. Remember, anyone gay out there, you know, you used to answer the phone in middle school and they would call you miss or ma'am, or they'd think you were your mom. I mean, the amount of times that I would answer the phone when I was a child and they'd be like, hey, Lynn. And it was like talking to my mother, Linda. And I'd be like, nope, it's her son. Gay people know what I'm talking about. And then you start to answer the phone and you're trying to do like a low voice. You're like, hello. You know, you try to do it as low as possible because you're realizing that every time you answer the phone, somebody's calling you Linda Pellegrino. And you're like, it's not Linda. People are confessing things to you before you even get out the fact that you're not Linda Pellegrino. So they're like, Lynn, I got to tell you about my divorce or something. And you're like, I'm not Linda. Okay. Ann Sue. No, Ann Sue didn't call about that. But you know, you get what I mean. Anyway, so the voice lowered. And then Erica says, no one's telling me to care about victims. She says, I care about me. There's people whose money was stolen from, Crystal says, and Erica's like, cite it. And then Erica says, I understand people have passed away and I feel terrible. We have to find out what happened to their settlement. And then Kyle chimes in and is like, well, say that you feel bad about it. Say that it's a process. Like, all you have to do is give, again, a bullshit statement. That's all you got to do. And then Erica just keeps saying, I don't give a fuck about anyone else but me. And Garcelle's like, well, so don't you believe there are victims? She's like, it's still in litigation. And it's like, all they're saying is like, don't be an asshole. Like, just say, it's so easy. And it feels like so, she says she's following the law, which, yeah, good, great, grand. But don't be an asshole. And that's my court of law. And that's the that on that. Don't be an asshole. And then Rinna and Dreet are like whispering to each other, like, we got to get her out. This is all happening on camera. So it's like everyone, even her best of friends, know that she's not coming across well and she's being an asshole and she's drunk and she's whatever. Which meanwhile, I thought Garcelle had sat down with her and Erica said she's not going to keep drinking anymore because she's on the medication. So she needs to stop drinking. Now she gets to the altitude in Aspen and just starts drinking. I mean, it's like, what is going on? What's happening here? What is happening? And then they get her out. They're like, we got to get out the demon. You know, they don't say demon, but that's what they mean. They're like, the demon took over. We got to get her out. Get out the demon. And then Dorit and Rinna, they sort of get her out. And then Erica's leaving the house and she's like, I pray to God your shit doesn't get fucked up like mine. I'll fight all night with these bitches. What about facts? You dumbs. You know, she's saying all these bad words. I'm not even going to repeat them because I've had enough.
Enough.
I've had enough of Bamboozle Jane. I've had enough about Mauricio. And I've had enough of the Aspen hats. That's what the Danny's enoughs for this week are those three in that order. Actually, the Aspen hats are number one. I'd rather take Bamboozle Jane than the Aspen hats. Because this was a good episode, you guys. It was. Whether I know Beverly Hills last week especially was the hardest to watch. And don't get me wrong, I really do believe that this was hard to watch Erica Jane just keep digging herself this grave. And it's so dark to watch this woman seemingly have no empathy for these victims, even though everyone's saying, like, just have a little, like, people are telling her to have some empathy. But that part is dark. I felt icky about that. Didn't we all, I mean, watching it, I was like, just say something. Just say one little thing. Just one little thing. One little thing. But again, this is the most unlikable cast in the history of Housewives. I mean, I was really racking my brain. I was thinking, like, when has Housewives had a cast that's just like this openly sort of unlikable? Like, I don't even know that they're trying to be likable at any. And you would think on Beverly Hills, because they're in Hollywood and they understand the television industry and fame and all of that stuff, you'd think they would have some level of self-awareness of, like, I'm not coming across well. And we're all looking like monsters, and they have maybe moments of it, but then I don't know. I ultimately think, like, Garcelle's the only one who's sort of like aware of, and sometimes I've complained about how Garcelle oftentimes in her confessionals will say things that she doesn't say in person. And I think there's, because she has some level of self-awareness that she wants to come across well. And so, yes, it's frustrating as a viewer of Housewives, but also I'm like understanding, oh, Garcelle has that filter to some degree where she is thinking about how she's coming across on television. Whereas some of the other gals, I'm like, what are they doing? Like, what is that choice? Kyle just shouting about Kathy's thin bag at the dinner table. I'm like, are you not aware of, like, how this makes you look? It makes you look like such an asshole. And then when they're saying Sutton's a mean girl, when they're all in a group calling her a see you next Tuesday, it's like, do you not see how crazy that is? Oh, I feel like I'm on crazy pills. I love decorating the house and getting furniture, but sometimes it could be overwhelming to design a space. And so luckily I'm here to tell you about a company called Cozy. Now Cozy is fantastic, a North American company that thoughtfully designs furniture made for modern living. Now Cozy strives to provide the best furniture shopping experience with elegant, super high quality products, plus fast delivery and easy assembly, which is really important to me because I do not like putting together furniture. So the easier, the better for me. Now Cozy offers a beautiful, customizable sofas and sectionals that are made to adapt in time. This means customers can add seats to the sofas over time. Maybe if you're extending your family, you might want more space on the couch. Cozy also offers a great range of coffee tables, washable rugs, wall shelving, credenzas, TV stands, and accessories. So much. It's thoughtfully designed furniture made for modern living. There's an outdoor sofa and tables collection that is fantastic. It's called the Mistral. So you can choose the perfect sofa configuration for your outdoor setup. Cozy also opened its first retail space on Queen Street in Toronto to push the experience to the next level and allow customers to engage physically with the products. So transform your living space today with Cozy. Visit Cozy.com, spelled Cozey, to start customizing your furniture today. Again, that's Cozy, Cozey.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Okay, before we go, We got to talk about the Real Housewives of Potomac trailer. Now, I'm just going to play a little clip from it, and then we'll talk about it. So let's... next week on the show, real quickly, next week on Beverly Hills, we get drinking out of a gun, apparently. This is good. They're lighting Kyle's hats on fire. Woo! Happy about that. Finally lighting them on fire. Can't wait to see that. Then Dorit and Crystal go at it. Kathy's pissed about the tequila, and I'm very excited about next week. Can't wait. Okay, so let's talk about the Potomac trailer. Let's listen to a little clip, and we'll chat about it.
In Potomac, we know how to do things here with elegance and class.
We know how to argue.
Shut the f*** up.
It's raining.
Don't come at me again. He's a sneaky link.
You want to say that my husband made you feel uncomfortable?
100%.
Giselle is dead to me.
What you will not do is with my mother. You understand me? I will whoop your ass in this place.
Play the face, bitch.
Our class remains unmatched.
You want to take a shot with us?
You can bear shit in the woods?
Yeah. Does a frog have a watertight asshole?
What?
Huh?
Does a frog have a watertight asshole?
Ooh, I feel blessed. Does not everyone just feel blessed? Last week we get Salt Lake City trailer, which looked phenomenal. This week we get Potomac trailer, looked phenomenal. The fact that we're getting these two franchises very soon, it's premiering, like I said, October 9th, which is my birthday. And so it's a gift from the Bravo gods, and I just feel like so grateful that Potomac is coming. It all looks fantastic. Now, they don't have a big legal drama like on Salt Lake City. However, what they do have is a cast of characters who's been around since the beginning because they're all-stars. They have, 5, 6? Charisse is back, so she's an OG of this cast. We have Ashley, we have Karen, we have Giselle, we have Candace who's been around since the early days. I mean, these women have all been there. Robin since the beginning. All these women have been there for a very long time. Wendy and Mia are the newest, but this cast is just an A-plus all-star cast. I mean, now this Karen Huger and Charisse thing is very fascinating to me. I, for one, am very excited about Charisse because I never liked that they got rid of her, and I'm excited she's back. It's also rumored that Katie Rose is coming back for, like, an appearance. I don't know that she's going to be in it much, but Charisse is, like, an official friend of, so she's going to be around quite a bit. She gets into it with Karen. Then also, it looks like Candace and Ashley almost team up. Like, it looks like it probably ends, but there is a scene where Candace and Ashley are getting along, and Ashley says she hooked up the hockey player because she left the husband who was grabbing ass. Remember Michael Darby, that monster? Ashley finally got out of that relationship.
Get out, leave right now.
She said, get out, leave, you ass grabber. I mean, what a monster that guy is. And I don't even know if he's appearing on the season because I think they filed for divorce or whatever. And he's not shown once in the trailer except for that one scene where he's like, looks like a demon when he's drinking and like trying to fuck Juan or whatever that scene was. You know what I'm talking about? That was a footage from like 2 years ago where he's laughing. He's like, hey, you know, he looks like an evil villain. And that's the only footage we saw of Michael Darby, which good. I don't want to look at that man. And I'm glad that Ashley's going to be in her single phase. She finally fucks a hockey player, which good for her. Everyone should fuck a hockey player. I mean, ladies, if you haven't, maybe just hop on the ice. Hop on the ice. Find yourself a hockey player because I think that's one of the best. When it comes to sports, do you ever think about that? Like, who's the hottest sports guy player to fuck, right? Like, I always think like I like a baseball player's body. Basketball players have like the tall, lean body, which I really like. And then football, if you like a stockier build, I love a thigh. And so I think that's good when it comes to football. Rugby players have the best thighs. So I think like that's a really good one to fuck. And then hockey players are kind of like beefy all around. And so I think they're a good mix. I mean, really any of them. If you're looking for a lay, I'm not saying you should be in a relationship with a sports player. No, no, ma'am. Certainly don't think that because it's not okay because they're out screwing people left and right. So I don't think dating a sports player is good long term. But if you just want to get a slump buster in, you know, someone that you could hook up with and move on from somebody else with, you know, slump buster, that's when you're in a slump, you haven't had sex in a while, or you've been with a relationship for a while and you got left someone. You need a slump buster. You need someone to help you get out of your slump. And so Ashley Darby's looking for a slump buster, and she found herself a hockey player, hopped on the ice. I'm good for her. Proud of her. And so her and Candace are getting along. But then there's all these allegations about Chris, which he's out late at night. Candace says, why are you out till 1 a.m? And then Giselle says he texted me, and Ashley says he texted her, sent me DMs, like, you should be here. And that is inappropriate. Chris, you need to cool it. What are these men on Bravo doing out till the wee hours of the morning? Or it happened on Selling the OC, which we'll talk about on Sunday, but it's like these men, what are they doing if they're in married relationships? Being out till that late with the, it's not okay. And these men need to cool it. These men need to cool it. Go to bed. There's so many things on TV to watch. What are you doing out at a club? I mean, seriously, what do you need to be at a club for? Drink your tequila in bed like the rest of us and watch Dream Home Makeover on Netflix. Like, that's what you should be doing at 1 a.m. or sleeping. I'm asleep by 11 most nights. I mean, I'm looking at these men, like, how do they have the stamina? Aren't they tired? I mean, I don't know what he's doing for work now, Chris. I mean, I know he's cooking stuff. He shows up on my TikTok a lot, right? Did anyone see him on the TikTok? He's like cooking stuff. And I always like Chris. But now he's sending, and not only that, but sending cast members different messages like, come meet up at the hotel or something like that. I'm like, didn't you learn anything from that ass grabber Darby? I mean, what is he doing? And then what else? We have Wendy's in some sort of hospital situation, and then her and Mia get into a situation. Mia, I've never seen someone, I'm glad that she's back, because I've never seen someone so casually throw things at other cast members. I mean, it's truly an art form that I just have to say, bravo to you, Mia, because last season we saw her with the salad. Remember, she just casually tossed the salad, you know, not metaphorically. She actually took some lettuce and threw it at Wendy. And now this season, was it Wendy or who did she throw it? I think it was Dr. Wendy. Anyway, this season she like casually throws a glass and it's like something is about, was she a dancer? She's just so light on her feet when it comes to violence amongst the other cast members. And I have to do nothing but applaud it because I've never seen such a thing. Normally, when we see the housewives getting to a physical altercation, we can see it coming from a mile away. Like, we can tell that Sheree's going to pull Kim Zolciak's wig, or we can see that Tamara's going to throw the glass or something. But Mia, she's stealth, like she's, what's that? I don't know. She must do some sort of dance, or maybe Mia's really into parkour or something, because she's very light on her feet when it comes to that. And we know that she has very big, wide hooves. We know that from last season. Remember, Candace, like, you're stomping around with them big-ass feet. You know, she's hoofing around. And so we know that her, we know that she's got thick feet. And I'm not one to judge. I was always someone who my brothers used to call me Fred Flintstone feet, because I have my feet looked like bricks, they used to say. And so I think that Mia and I probably have very similar hooves. And the fact that she's got such large feet and yet she's still so light on them is something to be applauded. It must be parkour. It must be that. Or so maybe she did, what's that, Krav Maga? What was that thing that J-Lo did in the movie Enough?
Enough.
Or that J-Lo movie where she like got revenge on the husband. Oh, I love that movie. Juliette Lewis in Sporting Turn. In the whole movie, Jennifer Lopez, she learns this art of Krav Maga. And then at the end, she just like sneaks up on him. And like, she's at the house and she's in the living room. And this guy comes home and she's like sneaking around the corner. She gave herself a haircut that makes her look like Anne Hathaway in Les Mis when she chopped off all her hair. And so then Jennifer Lopez is just like sneaking around the corner and she gets the guy with her Krav Maga. So I feel like Mia must have studied the art of Krav Maga. Or maybe she just saw the movie Enough quite a few times. And so that's where she learned it. But she throws it at Dr. Wendy. And I love Dr. Wendy, so I am a little upset that they're feuding. However, I think it looks like a fantastic season, and I just can't wait for my gals to return. And those ladies know how to be funny, and that's what's missing on Beverly Hills. None of them know how to be funny. And I watch these other franchises, I'm like, we got jokes with Potomac Housewives, we got jokes when it comes to Atlanta, we got jokes with New York, we got jokes with Salt Lake City. And I watch Beverly Hills, I'm like, where are all the jokes? We need somebody funny to cast on Beverly Hills, because I need someone in a confessional giving me some comedy queen. I need someone with the wit of Kenya. Someone with the wit of Bethany, who I do not even care for, but she gave us wit on the house. Is anyone following Bethany's TikTok presence? Can we talk about that? I know I should be focusing on the Potomac trailer, but just if you haven't deep dived into Bethany's TikTok presence, it's quite a presence indeed, and it's a lot to handle. And it just is it's just a lot. It's just, I don't even follow her, but they show up on my thing all the time. And it's, she's doing like beauty brand stuff, and she's very clearly prepping us for some sort of skinny girl beauty brand or skinny girl makeup or skinny girl skincare or something. But she's hating on a lot of these other brands, and she's just always like complain about Meghan Markle or something. I'm like, you need to give it a rest. Like, what is she always going after Meghan Markle for? And then, oh, this is another thing I do have to address on this podcast publicly. There was this thing like Spencer from The Hills had said something about how Lisa Kudrow was not nice to him one day, came up to him at his party and told Heidi to get away from Spencer or something. And then Bethany said that Lisa Kudrow was like mean to her on her talk show or something. She had a bad experience with Lisa Kudrow on the talk show. But if you go and look at the footage of Lisa Kudrow on Bethany's talk show, which, by the way, Lisa Kudrow didn't have to do her talk show because Lisa Kudrow was a huge star at that point. She was a friend. So she didn't have to go on Bethany's talk show. And if you watch the footage of the talk show, because I went back and looked, because you know I love my Lisa Kudrow. And I went back and looked at the footage, and Lisa could not have been friendlier to Bethany, whose talk show really was a mess. No offense to her or the talk show, but it was terrible. I mean, it was just, it seemingly like somebody was always in Bethany's ear, which maybe there was someone saying, go to the next segment or something. Every thought was so scattered, which not that I'm one to talk, because what did I just go on a whole rant about the movie? Enough.
Enough. Enough. No, enough.
So what the fuck do I know? But anyway, the talk show was a hot mess. And Lisa Kudrow could not have been kinder. And so I am on Lisa Kudrow's side. Who am I going to believe? Bethany and Spencer or Lisa Kudrow? A legend. Remy Michelle, the comeback. Friends. I mean, she's... what hasn't she given us? Hanging up. I mean, I love Lisa Kudrow. Anyway, Bethany is always on TikTok going after different people. And it feels like it's just for... I don't know. I'm not going to complain about her. Moving on. Potomac Housewives, did I talk about everything? It's just going to be good. I just can't wait for them to return to us. And I'm grateful to Bravo. I'm thankful to the gals. I never want to see Karen and Giselle off my screen. It seems like they're all sort of turning on Giselle too, which I think that'll be interesting to watch play out. I mean, I know Robin and Giselle, they're besties. They have a podcast together. They were on Ultimate Girls Trip season 3 together, which hopefully is premiering soon. But Giselle, it seems like Candace, she says she's done with Giselle. She's done with her. And... I'm going to watch what happens. I'm going to go to BravoTV.com for more information. I'm going to watch what happens live. And I want to thank you all so much for listening to this episode of Everything Iconic. Again, check out that interview with Jodi Benson. It's great. And shall we do our cheesy little cool down? I think we need to. Let's take a deep breath in. Hold it. Breathe out. Let's take one more deep breath in. Oh, wait, we didn't even talk about Sheree's clothing line. Oh my God. Oh my God. Breathe out. Okay. Stop. Stop what you're doing. Stop what you're doing. We're not done. I have to very briefly just mention Sheree's, She by Sheree finally launched. And is anyone following all the drama with She by Sheree? So first it was concluded that some of the designs were similar designs as like other designers. So like there was one jogger suit, or I don't know what you call it, but it was also being sold on Amazon and Walmart and one of those other, I forget the name of like those fashion brands. So you could buy this set for like $30, or one place had it for maybe like $7 or something. Now, Sheree's has her little logo on the chest, but this is something that happens a lot. It happened with Sonia Morgan, too, on The Real House of New York. Remember people were saying Sonia by New York, or whatever the fuck her brand name was. Maybe she was selling the dresses that people found elsewhere online. So it's something that happens with the fast fashion, but Sheree's offering this stuff for very expensive. I mean, $130 for a shirt, $150 for a sweatshirt. I mean, like, very expensive. And a lot of people are complaining because not only were these designs you get pretty much the same elsewhere for much cheaper, but that on the show you presented as if it was 10 years in the making and that we were waiting on these designer samples and stuff like that. And so we were sort of bamboozled as an audience, I believe. But my main concern is, and I don't know if they're still up because the website keeps changing. You know, at first, the night that it was released, I went on there to try to get some clothes and I couldn't because there was too much traffic to the website. It had to be shut down. But then you could get to it and see some of the fashions. And I was looking at some of the t-shirts and they didn't even steam the t-shirt that they're selling for $150. They're wrinkled in the shots. And I'm like, at the bare minimum, if you're selling $130, $140, $150 t-shirt with a picture of an emoji on it or something, at the bare minimum, at least make it look like you steamed the shirts, right? Like, and I don't even blame Sheree for that. I mean, she should have stepped in and said, we're not putting this on the website. But who was running that photo shoot to make it look so bad? Even the model should have said, this shirt is wrinkled. Like we can't take a picture in it. That's not a good way to sell our merch. So I don't know where the website stands now. People are pissed about it. And I didn't get a chance to because the website was down. So I didn't get a chance to buy anything. And I don't know that I could justify $150 for that. But anyway, I just had to update us because it is a lot of drama. She by drama. Because we were bamboozled a little bit. But I hope she gets together. We're all rooting for Sheree. And I want her to get together. I want her to have her succeed. I want her business to succeed. But there's some things that need to be worked out. And so hopefully, I think so many people are calling her out. So I hope it's actually just a good way to be like, hey, I got to change this, right? Like that's, and then she'll come back better than ever. But Sonia Morgan, the same thing happened again with her dresses. Anyway, just had to mention that briefly. I'm sorry that we did it at the last minute here. We were trying to cool down, and now I just worked you all up about She by Sheree. But I love you all so much for listening. We're rooting for Sheree. We want her to succeed. And thank you all. Love you. We'll be back next Sunday with an episode recapping Selling the OC. Love you all. Bye-bye.